Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, and where there is hatred, let me sow your love. We're familiar with that prayer that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and we remember him every October as he is known as the patron saints of animals. But often when we talk about the spiritual lives of people from the past, the folklore is more impressive than their actual lives. But it really isn't like that with Francis. He was the real deal, and he is one of my favorites. Francis of Assisi was born about 135 years ago in Umbria, Italy, to a noble and very wealthy family of silk merchants. And as a young man, he lived this very lavish life with his rich friends, and as it says in his biography, he has a love of pleasures. He liked to party. In his early 20s, he began to display disillusionment with his life and to reevaluate his lifestyle. And eventually, he renounced his father and his future inheritance and began to embrace poverty as holy. Now, it happened over quite a few years, but eventually, the man who used to stick his fingers up his nose to block the smell of the poor, really, he did, two fingers, he volunteered to live as a poor man. Francis chose poverty as his way to be in a right relationship with God. Now, there's more stories attached to St. Francis in addition to refuting his father's wealth. He did so by shedding his clothes and standing naked in the village center, which I think is a pretty dramatic way to give it to your father, the cloth merchant, don't you think? And there are also stories of Francis living in the ruins of a church and preaching only to wild animals. Now, Francis, like so many in our faith history, have become sweetened versions of themselves. And that's too bad, because what Francis did was really impressive. He gave up working for wealth only, and he rejected thinking that it's acceptable to ignore the needy around him. And Francis chose to model his life on the teachings of Jesus, and he took those teachings literally. He gave away all he had to the poor and began to love the least around him. Francis's transformation as a follower of Jesus was thorough. Now, Francis's reaction to hearing Jesus's message was the opposite of the Pharisees and the chief priests that we heard about in our gospel reading. When they heard what Jesus said and they realized that Jesus was talking about them and their lives, not only did they reject Jesus and his message, they wanted to arrest him. They were completely hardened to Jesus' message, and they refused to be influenced by him. Now, knowing about Jesus and hearing his message and understanding his way of living offers us a choice as well. Do we refute and reject the gospel message? Or do we respond with openness and live lives of love? Now, many people hear Jesus' teachings and think, well, you know, that is a really good way for monks and missionaries to live, but it's not really meant for us, right? Well, our second reading in the letter to the Philippians, we are told that the value of knowing Christ is to then be transformed into Christ-like people. And the scripture invites us to work towards living the goal of a righteous life, of a life of right relationships with God and with each other. And living this way means we move from being self-centered to being centered on Christ. And this means a lot more than just claiming to believe in Jesus and coming to church. Living a life centered in Christ is like how St. Francis lived, not the stripping naked in front of everybody, but the really integrating, as best we can, the teachings of Jesus and God's commandments into our daily life. And we heard the Ten Commandments in our reading from Exodus, but these are more than rules. These are ways to honor the holiness of life, and they show us how to create positive relationships with God and with each other. First on the list, God is Lord and don't have any other gods. And then to really drive this home, we have the second commandment. And don't make for ourselves an idol in any form. No other god but God's, and don't make for ourselves an idol of anything. God wants our complete focus and devotion, and we're told not to let anything to get as important or higher than God in our lives. Well, this is hard, and we all, every one of us, fall in and out of worshiping other gods and creating idols for ourselves all the time. We all have something or someone that has become our focus of attention more than the attention we give to God. It's hard to admit it, but it is true. You know, we all have something that we have exalted to a deity or regard with blind admiration or devote ourselves to more than God. It's hard to hear this, but what is our idol? Could it be our opinion on a controversial topic or a right we think we get to have? Could it be our allegiance to a political party or our hatred of the other political party? Do we devote ourselves to our story, the identity we have, and refuse to let it go and grow? Is our hurt or injury or an opinion our idol, and we hold it so high we think it justifies hating someone? What do we honor or idealize? What do we give our attention, our money, and our time to more than living like Jesus taught us? These can be anything. And whatever you think it is that I'm referring to, I have about 50 other things that this could apply to. If we're honest, we all have something, a right or a fear that we hold on to that gets in the way of fully and completely loving God and loving our neighbors. If we're honest, we all have something that we hold on to that gets in the way of fully loving God and loving our neighbors. When tragedy strikes, like the terrorism at the concert in Las Vegas, we can become overwhelmed with fear and sorrow and rage. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to see that evil, to call it out, and to refute it, and to work to bring about good. And we've heard this a lot this week, that we're called for more than good thoughts and prayers. Yet we believe in the significance and the power and the comfort of prayers, and we also know God wants us and needs us to do meaningful acts, to heal the wounded around us, including ourselves. And as Christians, we especially can offer hope. We do live in a country where our voices and our actions matter, where we can affect policies and legislations. And we need to do what we can to make life safer for everyone, to bring about justice, and hopefully to heal all those wounds. And in the midst of a tragedy, we also get to see humanity at its best when strangers forget all about what we use to separate us into us and them. And then people join together and they help each other. When we put God first above all else, our vision is no longer obstructed by our concerns of self-interest. And we actually can encounter God in each other. And we can live like Jesus taught. You know, the religious group that developed out of St. Francis's transformation, the Franciscans, have a blessing that I would like to close with. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep in our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. That we can bring peace and justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen.